Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Dr. Heather Scheckman. Thank you for being with us, Heather.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Heather, can we start out by having you tell our listeners how you got involved in having a vegan diet?
Well, I went vegetarian as a teenager. Oddly enough, it was my younger brother who was the first vegetarian of my family. I think he came home from elementary school after dissecting chicken wings, which was actually a package of Tyson chicken wings, and something in his head actually made him decide that that's an animal, I don't want to eat that. And he started getting some of the PETA literature and other animal rights information to the house, and I started looking at it. I mean, I gave him a hard time. I used to tease him about the fact that I was going to go meet my friends at Taco Bell and eat meat. But ultimately, I came around, and at 16, I became a vegetarian, and ultimately, my entire family, my mother, my father, my brother, and I were all vegetarians.
Oh, great.
It wasn't until about 13 years later that I made the jump to become a vegan, and that was during my cardiology fellowship training. As I was training to become a cardiologist, I was seeing that the animal foods that people were eating, and it wasn't just the meat, but also the dairy and the eggs, were contributing to the diseases, and in fact, directly causing the diseases that I was treating. And so it just made sense to me at that point, having seen the literature of people like Dean Ornish and Caldwell Esselstyn, who had demonstrated that you can reverse heart disease with a plant-based diet, made sense to me that this is the diet that I wanted to follow as well. And when it comes down to the ethics as well of where your food comes from, if you really look at it, the way that dairy and eggs come about certainly isn't any kinder than the way that other products like meat come about. So it just made sense to me, and that was about 10 and a half years ago, and I've been vegan ever since.
And it's incredible that your whole family went vegetarian. That's great. Have you had success trying to steer your patients towards a vegan diet?
On some level or another, I can always encourage my patients to eat better. I've got some patients who are vegan, and of those who've gone vegan, I haven't had to do a single angioplasty or send any of them for bypass surgery or treat them for a heart attack. So those of my patients who've gone vegan have done fabulous. Unfortunately, that's the minority. I would say, though, that the majority of my patients I am able to convince to eat healthier. I can get some to give up their beef or their chicken or their dairy. Or at the very least, I can get them to eat more fruits and vegetables. And I think there's always some benefit that comes from leaning in that direction, even if you can't get somebody to go all the way.
True.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I think it was Dr. Esselstyn who said that, you know, people feel like changing their diet is such an extreme thing to do. But then he had a quote about, you know, but every year there's going to be so many millions of Americans who lay on a hospital bed and have their chest broken open and go through this major surgery, and that they're willing to entertain, but the idea of changing their diet, they just don't go for.
Absolutely, yes. It certainly is extreme to be lying on a operating room table and have your chest sawed open. That's pretty extreme.
It's interesting, too, is that I'm sure when you educate your patients, you tell them all of the reasons why, you know, reducing the animal fat in the diet is so good for them. What kind of arguments do they come up with? They just don't want to change. Their only argument is, I like the taste of it, or I've always eaten that way, I can't do it.
Well, I certainly do hear a lot of, well, that's the way I've always eaten. And my response to that is, well, what you've always eaten has led you to this point where you're sitting in front of a cardiologist and you have heart disease, so something has to change. The other argument that I often get is I can never become a vegetarian. I can never become a vegan. And I don't necessarily like to use labels. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. I'm not telling you to become a vegan tomorrow, but at the very least, you can eat a vegetable with lunch and dinner. You can eat fruit for snacks. You can eat a couple of meatless meals per week. And that doesn't require you taking on a label. These are very attainable things. And I think for a lot of people, taking a big jump and changing their lifestyle or diet is a big deal. And sometimes I think it's easier to go one step at a time with changing your lifestyle.
You mentioned Dr. Esselstyn. His program seems rather strict to me. You have to avoid nuts and seeds and avocados. Even as a vegan, I'd find it very hard to make that change in my lifestyle.
I would agree. I eat a lot of avocados. I love putting chia seeds in my smoothies and flax seeds on my salads. And that's not necessarily a diet that everybody needs to follow, what Esselstyn suggests. The diet that he used in his studies was specifically for people who had severe coronary artery disease. And that's what he found worked for those patients. You know, when I have patients come in to me who aren't that ill, I'm not pushing them to stop their nuts and their seeds and their avocados. I'm really just encouraging them more to start by more fruits and vegetables and less animal products.
What do you think about, like, teaming with a nutritionist? Do you do that so the nutritionist can help your patients plan their diet and so that they can see that they are getting a healthy balance of everything they need? Because I'm sure some of them are all concerned about where they're going to get their protein if they go onto this, you know, vegetarian, vegan diet.
Sure. I only have so much time in my 15-minute yeah. patient encounters. I try to cover some of those things with my patients, but often I do find that a nutritionist professional who's got more time, who can sit down and go through the specifics of a patient's diet, can be a big help.
I was curious about your experience just jumping back a little bit during medical school and how some of your fellow students and colleagues and professors felt about vegan diet and treating and preventing diseases that really just run rampant over most Americans today.
You ask about nutrition in the medical school curriculum. I finished medical school in 1999, and we did actually have a nutrition curriculum. We were one of the few medical schools that did. I think we had a total of 16 hours of nutrition education over the course of our 4 years, and that was a lot compared to other medical schools. But the topics that we covered for the most part in that nutritional curriculum were things like protein calorie malnutrition and starvation of children in Africa, and we really didn't talk about the nutrition that we see on a daily basis
wow.
in American medicine of people who are obese and eating things that they shouldn't be eating and not enough fruits and vegetables. That is not what we covered, unfortunately, and that would have been very helpful.
Yeah,
especially since obesity leads to so many chronic diseases. I'm surprised you guys didn't have more on that, and it's such a, like you said, a widespread problem throughout America.
And it seems to be a problem with the medical profession as well. We had one vegan MD that everyone saw. He was a member of the Vegetarian Society of El Paso.
He still is a member.
Yeah. he retired, and now we're, you know, hopeless and lost in the wilderness here in El Paso without a vegan MD.
Well, we're also interested in talking with you about your experience as an athlete and being on a vegan diet. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in competitive sports?
Sure. In my 20s, I was a recreational runner, and it's something that kept me in shape, and I did a little bit of weight training as well. I ran a 5K or a 10K here and there. I wasn't particularly fast. But there came a time when I found myself injured, and I actually couldn't run. I had a tendonitis in my foot, and it was probably 16 months that I couldn't run for. So I started swimming, and I swam with a master's team and kind of perfected my stroke a bit and learned how to breathe on both sides, something that I didn't know how to do. And then I started riding a bike. I had an old mountain bike from college. I pulled it out of the back of my garage and got it tuned up and started riding with a group of women. And then finally, when I was able to run again, I realized that maybe if I'm not just running, if I'm swimming and I'm biking, that I can stay injury-free. And I'm a little bit competitive, so I figured triathlon might be a little bit of fun. So about 10 years ago, September of 2010, I did my first triathlon. It was the Finger Lakes Triathlon in Canandaigua, New York. I lived in Rochester, New York at the time. And I did the race, and I did okay. I finished in the middle of the pack, but I had so much fun doing it that it just stuck. And ultimately, I ended up moving to Los Angeles, where you can swim, bike, and run outdoors all year long. And I got involved in the triathlon community, and it just picked up from there. I ended up having some very good coaches, and I did my first Ironman triathlon in 2010, and then actually just a month ago I did my second Ironman triathlon. So being active and competing has become a big part of my life.
There was an interesting line I saw on your blog, on your website, that said you have a coach not to push you, but to rein you in.
Yes.
How important is it really for people who are in triathlons and training to have a coach, do you think?
Well, I think that a coach is not something that's absolutely necessary. If you want to go out and you want to do a sprint triathlon or a tough mudder or some sort of short Spartan race, you know, you can do that on your own. But I think that in order to kind of hone your skills and get really good at it, it's helpful to have a coach so that you can have somebody who can help you to make the most of your time.
Right.
And I think that one issue with a lot of triathletes is they train a lot, but they don't do the specific training that they should be doing. They just overtrain, and that's not necessarily helpful. I think that what I've found is that sometimes you can train less and be a better athlete.
Right.
You know, I've read that exercise, especially, you know, heavy exercise, creates a lot of free radicals. Are you concerned about that? Do you take extra antioxidants of any kind?
I think that there is definite concern that excessive amounts of exercise, when you get beyond 2 hours of exercise per day, definitely can cause some issues, increasing free radicals, and may not be healthful once you get beyond that threshold of exercise. I eat a pretty healthy diet. I mean, I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, so I've got a lot of antioxidants in my diet alone. But that said, I don't do Ironman triathlons every year. I've done one this year. I did one 5 years ago, and I'm certainly not going to keep up this pace of endurance athletics forever.
Right.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with it, an Ironman triathlon is like 2.5 miles of swimming, followed by 112 miles of biking, followed by 26 miles of running. I didn't know the human body could do that kind of thing.
Well, the human body can. It just requires a lot of training.
Yeah, and also on the nutritional side, I'm sure that you have to modify your diet when you're starting to train this hard and eat quite a bit as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how you adjust your vegan diet when you're undergoing training for one of these events?
Well, if I'm doing a lot of training, I certainly eat more. I don't necessarily change how I eat because I typically eat a pretty clean diet, and I think that fuels me well no matter what I'm doing.
Do you think your diet also helps you stay away from injuries more? Because I can only imagine how prevalent they must be in such difficult sports and training like this.
Diet is very important in staying healthy as an athlete. It's interesting because I have people come up to me and say, well, how can you do all the things that you do on a vegan diet? And I say, well, gosh, I actually don't think my diet hurts me. I think my diet actually helps me because I feel like I'm getting more nutrition than my competitors are.
So you just scale up the number of times that you eat per day or something like that?
Yeah, I probably just eat a little bit more. I mean, I really just see if I'm hungry, then I eat. I don't really have much more science beyond that.
Well, I think our listeners should pay attention to that because so many times you hear, you know, well, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. I need more protein. I need to have a diet that can fuel my energy needs. And, you know, you're living proof that you can very well fuel a mass amount of energy output on a vegan diet and have no ill repercussions from it. And you can, in fact, be healthier. So do other triathletes ask you about your diet or how do they approach it?
I do have a lot of friends who are triathletes who ask me about my diet, and I've actually seen a few of my triathlete friends who have decided that they wanted to try going on a vegan diet and have stuck with it, and at the very least others who will eat more vegan as they train.
Because I've seen quite a few, you know, like sometimes when we're combing through the websites on, you know, the pluses of a vegan diet or whatnot to try to educate people in our local community, I have looked at some of them. And it does seem like there are some pretty famous athletes who are on a vegan diet. And so, but is vegetarian more common?
You know, I think that if you looked back maybe 10 years ago, I think that a vegetarian diet would have been more common. But I think in this day and age, people realize that following a vegan diet is something that is definitely doable. There are more options in the grocery stores. There are more options at restaurants. And as a result, I think that people aren't necessarily just deciding to go vegan. They're actually finding that they can follow a vegan diet.
You know, Mike Tyson went vegan, and now the only ears he bites are ears of corn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm curious, too, about what motivates you. And I think for so many of us, it's hard to get up early in the morning or hard to stay up late at night and go and train. What when you want to just lay down and take a nap or rest, or what is it that really gets you up and out and exercising?
Well, it gets me up in the morning because I'm definitely a morning person. I like to get one workout done in the morning before I go to work. And if I'm training for something, there will typically be a second workout later on in the day. But when my alarm goes off, I just remind myself that getting this workout done is what's going to help me to get to my goals. And I'd say most of the time when that alarm goes off, I get up and I go. And I also think about the fact that a couple hours from now, I'm going to feel really good, knowing that I got my workout in and I'm energized, whereas if I hadn't gotten my workout in, I probably wouldn't feel as good the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's a good point to envision how you're going to feel later after you accomplish something.
Can you give our listeners a few words of inspiration before we end our interview today about how to motivate them to be more heart healthy and how what you've seen as a physician and as an athlete spurs you on to help educate people about the benefits of a vegan diet?
Sure. I think one thing we all need to keep in mind is that medicines can only do so much. Certainly taking pills can help, but lifestyle is so critical in being healthy. Eating the right foods and exercising and maintaining a healthy weight can be so important to reducing risk of diseases, more so than just about anything else. But another thing that I like to remind people is that I think no matter what level you start from, as an athlete or non-athlete, there's so much that you can achieve. And when I first started doing triathlons 10 years ago, I certainly wasn't somebody who was a very fast runner. My swimming stroke was pretty terrible, and I was pretty horrible on the bike, but with training and hard work and eating the right foods 10 years from then, I've accomplished a lot as an athlete. I've qualified for USA Triathlon Age Group Nationals. I've competed internationally in Israel, and I've completed 2 Ironmans. So I think that with hard work, there's so much that you can achieve.
Heather, can you tell our listeners where they can find your blog?
My blog is at www.veganheartdoc.com. That's veganheartdoc.com.
We've been talking with Heather Scheckman, cardiologist, vegan, and Ironman triathlete. Thanks so much for being with us on ACT Radio, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.